Hello friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is November 19th and we are studying day two of our technology article for this month. Now this technology article is very interesting. We are discussing small satellites and the impact they are having on the market and some new companies that are coming up to meet this need in the marketplace. But before we get into the specifics of this article, allow me to welcome back my friends Albert and Amanda.
Hello.
How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. Yeah.
All right. So it's been a pretty interesting article so far, right?
Yes.
Okay. What is something that stood out to you from yesterday's lesson?
Well, I really like how innovative or clever or smart some of these launch companies are. Basically, they are the vehicles to get items from Earth to space, like Virgin Galactic. They're using their existing planes that, you know, carry cargo and people and changing it, retrofitting it to carry space cargo. So they carry a rocket halfway and then the rocket launches. So it's from a higher altitude and it takes less fuel.
Seems pretty smart and interesting.
Probably better for the environment too, because the fuel that's expended goes into a different layer of the atmosphere.
I never thought about that. You are quite the rocket scientist, Albert. All right, Amanda, what about you?
I think for me, it's just understanding that our habits with the internet and our expectations for convenience or to track a package or know where we are on the earth and expanding our internet access is fueling this boom. We learned that yesterday. To fuel a boom means to motivate or cause it to happen, and a boom meaning popularity. So just because of us, the user of technology, and our expectation to have it at our convenience, this is causing this industry to increase.
Yeah, and this industry, there's kind of twofold. There's two parts to this industry, right? There are the companies that are designing and inventing the satellites, right? And as we said yesterday, these satellites are getting smaller and smaller, and they are weighing less and less, and they're getting sent out into space, okay? So you have the companies like SpaceX and OneWeb, and today we're going to be talking about Planet Labs. These companies are developing these satellites. And then you have the other side of the industry where companies like Firefly, Space Systems, Rocket Lab, and Branson's Virgin Galactic, these companies are now coming in to fill the transportation aspect of this industry, getting these rockets or these satellites into space. So there's a whole new industry developing here, and it reminds me often of how I remember a teacher said to me once that, you know, 20 years from now, you don't know what kind of jobs will be available, you know, and so students now, you know, 20 years from now or 10 years from now, when they're actually out into the marketplace, they might be looking at a whole new marketplace, because there's going to be a whole new area or new industries for them to look at. So it's very, very interesting to think about. Well, let's get started with our article for today. We are going to be starting on page 31, and we're going to be looking at the second half of this article about new space savers, small satellites. So, let's begin.
Swarms of satellites are not a new idea. Huge satellite constellations were proposed back in the 1990s as a way to provide telecommunications services around the globe. But entrepreneurs badly underestimated the steep cost of building and blasting hundreds of satellites into orbit, and the proposed services were undercut by cheaper ground-based cellular services. In a different league, industry players say this time will be different. Planet Labs, for example, says it operates the largest fleet of Earth observation satellites. Data from the company's nanosatellites can be used to monitor farmland and track carbon emissions. Demand for mobile connectivity is also greater than it ever was in the 1990s, even in previously unconnected places such as airplanes. And new technology has driven down the cost of developing and launching a satellite, aided in part by miniaturization. Smaller satellites weigh less, and thus are cheaper to launch. Currently, small satellites can hitch a ride by going piggyback on a rocket purchased by a larger company and squeezing in where there's space. But aspiring launch providers say this method can restrict the launch time and location, as well as the orbit where the satellite will be placed.
All right, so we have been talking about small satellites, and we mentioned yesterday that small satellites are back. So these small satellites, it's not a new idea, right?
Mm-mm.
No, actually, it's been around for a while, and it's what we learn. It's not a new idea. Huge satellite constellations were proposed back in the 1990s, and they thought that this would be a way to increase telecommunication services around the world. But it was underestimated because it costs a lot of money to build. Fuel costs a lot of money. There were a lot of things that stopped it from happening.
Okay. So we have a lot of good vocabulary in this paragraph here. When we talk about swarms of satellites, what are we talking about?
Whenever I think of the word swarm, I think of swarms of cockroaches. Ugh.
Mm.
A swarm.
I was thinking of bees.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Still kind of dangerous too. But.
Yeah, but okay, yeah. Cockroaches, sure. Okay, swarms. Yes.
Are a lot of something. When I think of swarms, yeah, I just think of a ton, like many, 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 thousands upon thousands. But, you know, yesterday we had that word constellations, right? Which is also representative of a lot of something.
Right.
In that case, it's constellations of stars.
Right.
Swarms of satellites. Sometimes swarm does have a more negative connotation because of cockroaches and bees.
Right. Okay. So just the idea is there will be a lot of satellites in space, and this is not a new idea. In fact, back in the 1990s, it was proposed. Someone brought up this idea as a way to provide telecommunication services around the globe, but they ran into some problems. They didn't realize how expensive it would be to build these satellites and then to send them into space. And these proposed services were undercut, which just means that they were charged less by a competitor. And the competitor here is cheaper ground-based cellular services. And we were kind of talking about that yesterday, right?
Right. Like, Albert, you mentioned Google's balloons. They had thought about that idea for a while. But we talked about cell towers.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so cell towers were a lot cheaper to build and maintain and provide a service than it was to go into space.
Yeah.
Right, but now and today, it's like the flip side is, we can't dot the world with cell towers in like at every interval or increment.
Right.
Mm.
And it's cheaper actually to use satellites.
Right. So this is kind of the flip side, right? And so this is what we were talking about yesterday with the deck, that now there are more down-to-earth expectations, right? Mm-hmm. So it kind of fizzled out, and they kind of realized some of the challenges, but now people are overcoming those challenges and finding new ways to accomplish this old idea.
Right. And that's why we go into this phrase, in a different league. Because before, it was very steep in cost. It cost a lot of money. But now, it's much better than it was before.
Right. So industry players, and we're talking about companies that are involved in this industry, say this time it will be different. And we hear about Planet Labs, and they're a company that develops satellites. What does Planet Labs say?
It says they operate the largest fleet of Earth observational satellites. So this is something that we never thought or think about in regards to satellites. They monitor weather. They help forecast upcoming typhoons or hurricanes, and they also use data from their nano satellites. Nano is a term of measurement, very small. And what they do is they can track like farmland conditions and carbon emissions, so you see how pollution is getting worse or better over time.
All right, so Planet Labs, they provide these satellites that, you know, allow for scientific observation of the Earth, and they're sending these nano satellites, again, these smaller satellites, into space and doing a lot of good with them. All right, so what else is happening here? Something is becoming greater.
Right, we see a demand for mobile connectivity, and this is greater than it was in the 1990s when the idea was first proposed to go into space. This is because the smartphone has become a lot more popular. Nearly everybody has one.
Right.
And so we want to stay online a lot more.
Right, even in previously unconnected places such as airplanes. It's amazing to me. I mean, I remember when I first heard about Wi-Fi on the airplane, I was just like, whoa, what is that? You know, because in the past, when you get on the airplane, basically everything is shut off, right?
Right.
No computers, no cell phones, nothing. You have just, you're just not connected to the world at all, except if you're using one of those, you know, the airplane phones, which cost you like
an arm and a leg.
$50 a minute, you know?
Yeah.
But now there's Wi-Fi on the airplanes, and I mean that costs you an arm and a leg too. But it's amazing to me. You know, will they be providing Wi-Fi for free on the airplane the way they provide movies?
Maybe. I mean, like, I have an anecdote story to go with this. It's just like, you know, we all know about video calls, right? But I remember a few years back, a friend of mine was writing. She was on a domestic flight, and she called us with a video call on the plane. We thought it was the coolest thing ever. It was like free, or maybe it wasn't free. It was like probably costing her arm and a leg.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And I mean, the thing is, do we need to be connected like every single minute of every single day? I think it's okay to be disconnected for a couple hours on the plane. Just shut down, right? I don't know.
You say that now, but when it's free, I'm gonna see if you know you're connected
you're
or
using
not.
It.
I probably will. All right. So, new technology has driven down the cost of developing and launching a satellite, and we were talking about that earlier, right? So, in the past, it was cheaper to just build on the ground, but now with this new technology, sending a satellite into space is getting cheaper, and the fact that the satellites are getting smaller, and that's what we're talking about when we say miniaturization. So when these satellites are getting smaller, these satellites weigh less, again, a lot lighter than Albert, and they are cheaper to launch.
Yeah, and I just see that when we're talking about miniaturization here, we say aided in part. Aided here meaning it helps to a small extent, in a small way, because things are getting smaller.
All right. So currently, what can these small satellites do?
Well, they can hitch a ride, which is an idiom. It's to get a free ride in someone else's vehicle as a way of traveling. By the way, do not recommend that. Potentially dangerous.
Yes.
Not with strangers.
Right. But in this context, we're saying, as something we mentioned earlier, which was, you know, they can piggyback off of airplanes.
Right.
And so it's not like they get their solely by themselves. So they use existing airplanes, so you know you can be green and save on materials.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe there's a rocket that's getting sent into space for some other reason, right? And these companies can now, because the satellites are so small, they can pay a smaller fee and just say, hey, well, can I catch a ride with you? You know,
right.
It's kind of in the way, like, if you're going someplace and your friend happens to be driving in that direction, you're like, hey, can I, you know, grab a ride with you?
Right.
And just kind of hop in the car with them,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the same idea here, is that these small satellites are now piggybacking on a rocket that some other company purchased, and they're just kind of taking up a little bit of space and not a whole lot. And aspiring, but even though that's possible, there's this whole crop of companies that are rising up are hoping to provide a service here, right? And so the aspiring launch providers say this method can restrict the launch time and location, as well as the orbit where the satellite will be placed. Because again, the rocket is headed for a specific place, right? Mm-hmm. And you're just hitching a ride, so you can't dictate where the rocket's going.
Right, so it won't be as accurate perhaps as the person wants it to be, the delivery place,
exactly.
The location.
Yeah.
So they're hoping to eliminate that even altogether.
Right, and I mean if you think about it, like when you're hitching a ride with someone, you don't usually want them to go out of the way for you, right? So if it happens to be on the way, you know, you can be dropped off along the way, that's mm-hmm. the most convenient. In this case with the rocket, it has to be on the way, right? There's no way they can make a little detour for you to get where you want to go. So these aspiring launch providers are saying, well, hey, you know, this is obviously a problem and we can solve it for you. We can get your satellites where you want them to be, when you want them to be there.
Right.
All right. Well, let's continue to see what these companies are doing and how they're succeeding.
A roaring success. That's where companies like Virgin Galactic think they can succeed. Virgin Galactic plans to eventually produce 24 rockets or more each year in its 150,000 square foot facility. Virgin Galactic is looking to produce rockets quickly and at low cost. On average, the company said it will cost $10 million to launch a 440-pound satellite to a 500-kilometer sun-synchronous orbit, the most commonly requested orbit. Launcher One's first test flight is scheduled for next year. The plane will take off from Mojave, California, and launch the rocket off the California coast. Caceres said he doesn't expect all of the startup launch companies to survive. As long as you have someone wealthy and you're not relying on attracting private investors, you have a much better chance.
All right, so we said earlier that currently small satellites are hitching rides or piggybacking on rockets purchased by larger companies and squeezing in where there's space. But now there's a whole crop of companies that are popping up to provide a service where they can deliver these rockets, these satellites at low cost, right? So companies like Virgin Galactic, and this is where they think they can succeed. Now, what are some of Virgin Galactic's plans?
Well, they eventually hope to produce 24 rockets or more each year in its 150,000 square foot facility.
Okay, so can we review again, what is Virgin Galactic's plan to get these satellites into space?
Well, yesterday we learned that they are going to make a satellite launching rocket, and then they will drop that rocket from the wing of a 747. The rocket will then launch itself into orbit. And we see a picture of that on page 31 mm-hmm. on the right-hand side.
Okay. Yeah, and that's kind of a very creative way to solve this problem, because usually when you want to launch a rocket into space, most of that fuel is burned off just getting the rocket off the ground, right?
Right.
So if you're lifting it into space on the wing of an airplane and then releasing it from there, it's not gonna have as much resistance to get it into space.
Right. If you think of NASA rockets, mm-hmm. you know, when they're put they're launching astronauts into mm-hmm. space, they have two side humongous big launching rockets that are just containing the fuel, and that's the propulsion to just get them up into orbit.
Right. So Virgin Galactic is looking to produce rockets quickly and at low cost. And on average, the company said it will cost $10 million to launch a 440-pound satellite to a 500-kilometer sun-synchronous orbit. So it's going to cost $10 million to get one satellite into space.
Which is a lot of money.
But that says it's a low cost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which just shows you how much it was before.
Right. Each pound costs a lot of money.
Yeah. And this is the part that really amazes me, the idea of the sun synchronous orbit. What is that?
A sun synchronous orbit is an orbit that circles Earth at the same rate that the Earth orbits the sun.
Right. So the idea is the Earth goes around the sun at a certain pace, and we want the satellites to keep up with the Earth, right? So the satellite will also circle the Earth. As the Earth is moving, the satellites will be moving along with the Earth.
Oh, so the Earth is on a track around the sun, and
yes,
we want the satellite to be on the same track to go around the
Earth.
Which is going around the sun.
Right, yeah. Because, you know, you don't want the Earth to be moving ahead and then the satellite is kind of lagging, right? You want the satellite to keep up with the Earth as it's traveling around the sun.
Mm.
Yeah. It just, again, one of those scientific things that are beyond me. I don't know how they calculate it, but it works.
Because they're using the physics involved with that orbit to keep the satellite in place. That's the projection. That's what keeps it moving.
Right, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, if the Earth is moving too fast and the satellite's not keeping up with the orbit or keeping up with the Earth, then the connection that the satellite has with the things on Earth, there's going to be kind of a lag, or there's going to be a problem.
Right, and I'm thinking the way they figure this out is using math.
Yes.
And tons of
and
rocket fuel.
Physics.
To get the satellite up to speed.
Yes.
Yeah, so the satellite, well, the rocket's job is to actually bring the small satellite into orbit, and
mm-hmm.
once it's released, then the small satellite will enter that orbit, and that's what keeps it going.
Right, so like sometimes it's actually not that hard to get to space. It's staying in space that's the difficult part. And to stay in space, you need that speed. So they have to push it up to that speed to match the orbit that they want.
Yeah. It's beyond me how it works, but it's amazing. And I am always amazed at how technology really works these days, and mm-hmm. I'm very thankful for technology. All right, so Launcher One, and again, Launcher One is that the
rocket
that is being sent into space. So the first test flight is scheduled for when?
Next year.
All right, and where will it take off from?
The Mojave Desert, which is located in California. I feel like that's a good place to launch rockets where, you know, there's tons of rocket fuel that might explode or whatnot.
Going out into the desert where there's not a lot of people is a good place to launch.
Yeah, things that could be destroyed.
Yes. All right. Now, we hear again from Marco Caceres here, and what is he saying?
He said he doesn't expect all of the startup launch companies that have begun to survive.
Right. And that makes sense, right? I mean, not everybody who goes into an industry, not every company that goes into an industry survives.
Right.
You know, about, I would say, I think 90% of startups end up failing within the first 3 years, mm-hmm. you know, and that's just how business goes. And, but he does say that certain companies will have a better chance. And what is special about these companies?
Well, as long as you have someone who is super wealthy and they're fueling or funding the company, then they don't have to rely on distractions like, oh, getting private investors who are worried about if a launch fails or whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, because rocket science is difficult.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So in according to that, then probably Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic will do pretty well because he's got a lot of money.
Yeah.
Ooh, and I remember Amazon's the CEO, his name is Jeff Bezos?
Bezos, mm-hmm.
Yeah, he recently got into the mm-hmm. rocket business.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have Elon Musk of SpaceX.
So, right. Yeah. All right. Well, a lot of interesting things to think about. You know, these, it sounds like science fiction, it sounds like rocket science, but the fact is, all of this is very much connected to our everyday lives. If you use a smartphone, if you use GPS, you are connecting with satellites on a regular basis. So, all of this actually does trickle down to us, right? Because the cost of sending this stuff into space, we're paying for part of that.
Yes.
I find it it seems like we're coming full circle where there was less funding going to the space program on getting people off the planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now there's more research and development in this field, but it's not for that reason. It's more for entertainment or telecommunications or
right.
research.
Yeah.
But hopefully this will also trickle down and translate into like, oh, we can use these new techniques and technologies for getting people to the moon or to
yeah.
Mars.
Right, yeah.
Well, I think that's why Elon Musk is involved
yeah.
with SpaceX, because he desires to, you know, was it colonize Mars? So this
yeah.
may be just one small step in that direction.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, does this mean that one day there will be Wi-Fi everywhere we go?
Even
you know,
in
you
the Dark Valley?
You could be walking on the street and you get Wi-Fi. You don't need to have cellular service.
This one's right. provided by Facebook.
Yeah, that is... the next level of connectivity, right? Okay, well, what did you guys think about this article? What are some of your thoughts? Please do write to us and share with us. And you can connect with us on letters@studioclassroom.com. You can check out our Facebook page. We're also on Line and Instagram, all these different social media. So please do connect with us and let us know what you think. And as always, check out our QR code for more videos and information. And yeah, we hope you enjoyed this article. We hope that it got you thinking and that you learned some new things. I certainly did. We hope that you'll join us again for our next Advanced Studio Classroom lesson. But for now, it's time for us to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.